When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Before getting started, we'd like to thank our sponsor, General Motors. Take a moment to check out how GM is shaping an all-electric EV future by inspiring innovation at GM.com.
You start the fire, trying to find what you like.
We are back with another episode of The Measurables with War Air, powered by Revolt, shot by my brother Cali Vision. Now today, we have one of my favorite guys. Anybody who's seen the show Workaholics, you know this guy. He has a film coming out about my father with the incredible, incomparable Robert De Niro. Not only can he do a good comedy bit for you, but he can also give you a good tearjerker as well. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Anders Holm.
They don't know whether to laugh or cry.
They don't know.
That's how I get them.
But the thing is, we're right here.
We're right here.
So I ask everyone this when they come on the program. How are you? How is your mental?
Right now?
At this very second.
Well, this very second, I'm very good.
Okay.
But, dude, I'm a mess.
Fucking hell.
I'm a mess.
Why, though?
I'm a good mess. I'm a good mess. It's fine. Was supposed to be filming the Workaholics movie right now.
That was one of my
Yeah. So if some people know, some people don't. We had the Workaholics movie ready to go. We wrote a script.
Yes.
We got paid.
Oh, you got paid too.
Paramount Plus was like, here we go. And right after they had their kind of like big summit, end of the year, they come back in the new year and they go, Workaholics, the movie, is not global global enough for what we're trying to do here.
Get out of here, bro.
At the budget, we were trying to like really do something fantastic, right? We wanted to do something like big, fun, action comedy, just like a blown out episode, right?
Yes.
And we were like, oh, okay. But we already like rented stages. We started casting.
Oh,
like,
my God.
And they were just like, so supposed to be doing that now. So life is weird. Also, got a vasectomy on Monday.
Oh, wow.
Just kind of walking a little off right
now. Yeah, no more fighter pilots, huh?
That's it.
That's it, huh?
We've got the fleet. We're good to go.
So how many deep are you?
Three? Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. So if there is another pregnancy, it'll be immaculate.
There's going to be some questions. Yeah. It might be a Mac I get. But yeah, we're wrapping it up, and you know, she's been through it. She's been such a trooper, and like, you know,
yeah,
women, hats off.
Yeah, man. Before it's not easy. Before we get into to the litany of questions,
yeah,
you know, my wife, she was like, "Listen, man, if we're gonna get this party started, let's get this party started right."
Mm-hmm.
It's something called a snatchback. I don't know if this is prevalent in the white community.
Okay.
Among the brothers and the sisters,
uh-huh.
A snatchback body is when you have a baby and your body snatches back.
Right. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So even if the terminology does not exist,
mm-hmm.
you understand what I'm talking about.
I believe in the whites. I've heard
what?
Snapback.
Oh, you heard snap. Okay.
Snapback.
Yeah. Okay.
Where it's just like, get it right back. Yeah.
Right back.
Yeah.
So was your wife, was it like, you know what? This is the third. This time when I get pretty, I'm going to stay this way. I'm not going down this road again.
Yeah. I mean, so my wife's also like a marathon runner.
Oh, wow. So it was very easy.
Muscle memory. Yeah, it is. But it's also like those 9-10 months of like being hemmed up. Like she can't do the thing she loves to do.
Right.
Her personality.
Understood.
The way she starts her day, like that kind of thing. I can't imagine like just skipping breakfast every day.
Right.
Breakfast was my favorite meal, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, it does a number on just who they are and what they're doing and all that stuff. So,
right.
You know, but yeah.
Well, you know, there are people who watch this this podcast, thankfully, around the world, and they may ask, Boz, what's with the outfit? It never rains in California. It's been quite chilly and in the Southlands these past couple of days. Anders, would you concur?
I would. We actually had family out here, my wife's side, some people from Wisconsin, and they were here for like 2 days of sunshine.
Yeah.
And then it was just like the rain, the cold.
The rain, bro.
And I'm like, did you bring this here?
Yes.
Is this yours?
Yes. Yes. So like lightweight, your family is responsible for the El Nino situations that we haven't experienced in the Southland since 2002.
Cat's out of the bag.
Evanston, Illinois native. How far is that from Harrisburg, Illinois? Have you ever heard of Harrisburg?
No.
So Harrisburg is where my wife is from. It's 2.5 hours away from St. Louis. But it's one of those places where like you can see time happen.
Right. So it's slow.
It's super slow. So is Evanston that same way?
No, Evanston is the first suburb north of the city.
Okay,
so, like we're right
from Chicago.
From Chicago, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. So it's where like Northwestern University is.
Is it where McDonald's is?
There is a McDonald's.
No, McDonald's corporate.
No.
Okay,
no. It's a small suburb. It's like I don't even know how. It's 80,000 people. It's very much like Pasadena. Right.
Where I'm from.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But Pasadena's the there's not like big estates there, right?
Got it.
It's more like
is it all blue collar?
No, it's mixed. It's mixed. It's like a socioeconomic experiment.
Got it.
What me and my buddies always because we left there. It's a lot like Berkeley.
Yeah.
You know,
okay,
it's
got
like,
it.
Oh, this is fine. This is nice, but like also over here is like not that nice, but like everybody's hanging out.
Got it.
It was cool to grow up there. It was the best. You know, it's like right on the beach there of Lake Michigan.
That's beautiful, man.
How often
do you go back?
Now that we have the kids, we prefer they come out here.
Right.
And they like the weather because my folks are still there. I got a brother who's still there. But we go back, and my wife, who's also from there, we go back once a year now.
Okay.
Twice a year.
But you still have roots there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's fantastic. So are your people from Copenhagen or Stockholm by chance? Because the first time I heard the name Anders,
right?
I have a friend who lives in Stockholm.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd never heard this name before. He was like, I mean, it's like a common name in that part of the world.
We're out there, dude.
You're out.
Yeah, it's wild. So my dad's side of the family's from. He grew up in Evanston, also, actually.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it was like, oh, you used to like walk in these high school halls and shit. Okay, he'd be like, this is my old locker. I'm like, stop.
Right now, please.
Stop it. We'll get to it, but it would be like a trip for him to be like, it was the same. It's the same but different.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
But so his parents were from Minnesota.
Got it.
Where
okay.
It's like, you know, these people are speaking like Norwegian on the farms out in the middle of nowhere type
right.
stuff.
Right.
Because they're the people who moved from Europe, and we're like, oh, it's freezing cold here. Perfect. This is what we know.
This reminds us of the house.
Right. They don't care.
Wow.
That side. And then my mom, she's from North Carolina.
Wow.
Yeah.
So growing up in Evanston, what type of work did your parents do? Were they in entertainment? Did your father like have like a little set down at the comedy spot on the weekend?
No, that would be bad. That'd be bad news. my dad, he had a small business that his uncle started that would take glassware, right, and like etch stuff on it.
Got it.
So like if you were like the Holiday Inn Hotel, we need ashtrays that say Holiday Inn on them.
Let's go.
That's, you know.
Let's go.
That. And then my mom was just a realtor, like residential realtor.
So how did your upbringing, you know, shape your skill as an actor or as a comedian? Did was there any correlation?
I mean, my parents are kind of characters, and I didn't realize it until, I had friends over, right?
Oh, they were perform.
No. Like, my friends, because my mom has, like, the Southern accent, and my friends.
Because she's from Carolina.
Right. My friends are from Chicago, and they're like, your mom's, like, funny sounding, da-da-da.
Yeah.
And then my dad is just, like, old school football type guy.
Who like Mike Ditka? Like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Like, had that, this mustache. Like, this,
oh, yeah,
is,
yeah.
This is genetic right here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And would just like shake down new friends and be like,
oh, absolutely.
Come here. Let me see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
come here.
Grip the arm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, what do you play?
Yeah.
You know? And it's I'm like, Dad, stop.
I'm just a mathematician, sir.
Right. Because he was like a football player and a coach
yeah.
before he did his like adult job, whatever.
Right.
So it was just like, your parents are weird. I'm like, oh. So maybe they made me weird, but also that I just watched a ton of television growing up.
I'm gonna get to that.
Yeah.
So this is what I want to know. Like, you're the youngest
yeah.
of three, right?
Yeah.
So as a youngster, what did you do to stand out? Because it's like a competition.
You can't.
You can't.
No.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, the standing out I did was that I was like the bad one.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Bad meaning bad or bad meaning good?
Not Michael Jackson bad. Actually, Michael Jackson, not Michael Jackson anything. Yeah, I would just moonwalk everywhere.
You would moonwalk everywhere?
No, I was like...
There's Anders right there.
I was just bad in school, just disrespectful. Just I was just like the wild one.
So in answer to my question, you yeah. stood out by being like, oh, yeah, there's your little brother.
Right, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so... You must have done good somewhere because you end up at the University of Wisconsin, member of the swim team.
I swam my way into college.
So, all right. So that being said, can you please pull me? Like, I know about basketball locker rooms.
Yeah.
Because I played basketball my whole life.
Right.
But like, I have friends who play football, so they tell me about their experiences.
Yeah.
Never once have I had an associate or friend
mm-hmm.
who was a part of that swim life.
Yeah.
You're not ready for that swim life, bro. Please pull me into the world of a swimmer. What are the things that people just need to know so they can put respect on swimmers' names?
I don't know if that's going to happen, but here's one detail that, like, if you were going to write something about a swim team or, like, make a movie about swimmers.
Okay, here's how Miro works. See? It's amazing.
What's everyone doing at David's desk? Ever since marketing started using Miro's collaborative online whiteboard, he thinks all our other teams should sign up. Why? He says Miro's making his meetings disappear. And if every team gets on it, that means even less meetings. They're using Miro for brainstorms, mind maps, customer research.
So could we use Miro instead of having another 100 meetings for every round of feedback?
Yep. You can comment, react to ideas, even leave a recording on the board.
And what about presentations?
There are Miro templates for that.
How do you know so much about Miro?
I've actually been using it all along. I just used a Miro board to plan the best vacation.
Okay, I'm on board.
See how Miro users save up to 80 hours every year by meeting less and doing more. Get on board at Miro.com with 3 boards free forever. That's Miro.com.
When we lock our lockers after we've like gotten undressed and we're going into school or whatever.
Right.
You hook your Speedos on the lock and then you lock the lock and the Speedos hang outside the locker.
So it can dry. Okay.
So that's like a very specific swimmer thing about the locker.
Okay.
And so maybe every once in a while you might just put some Bengay on somebody's Speedo because it's right there and it's available. That might happen.
Question.
Yeah.
Does the Speedo not dry inside of the locker?
Yeah, but you don't want it like dripping and all of
your
stuff.
Oh, okay, got it.
Like workout shoes in there for when we do dry land, which is just
bro. This is a thug out, land. Bro. This is a thug out situation right here. We're you are taking us inside uh-huh. the world. You ever see that documentary, The Last Dance?
Yeah, of course.
How they took us inside yeah. of Jordan's career. You're taking yeah. us inside the world of Anders and also like Mike Phelps. Like you're taking us
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Greg Louganis, all of them.
Louganis was a diver.
Okay, but I mean, is that not swimming?
It's so different.
How so?
It's
is it like football and flag football?
No. It's, okay. I'm trying. You know what? I'll try and think of something. It'd be like if you were. No, I don't want to make diving sound. Well, maybe I'll make swimming the putt-putt. It'd be like if you were like a sinister golfer.
Okay. Like Caddyshack.
Or a good golfer, but then there was somebody who was like amazing at putt-putt. All hole-in-ones. All trajectories, all exact movements. So diving is like you got one shot. Like
that's it.
And it's a different discipline. Divers are crazy. Because they're just like, yeah, I'll jump off that shit, flip around and like slam my face in the water 100 times before I get it. Yeah. Swimmers.
From tremendous heights.
Right. It's wild. Yeah. Swimming, more of a conditioning sport, less of like an acrobatic sport.
Less acrobatic?
I mean, we're doing flip turns.
Bro, it requires coordination. When you get to that wall, you got to make that little flip and bounce off. That's amazing.
It does. But even at the college level, you see the swimmers who are athletes, and then you see the swimmers who just have work capacity.
Got it.
And by that, I mean like...
Got it, yeah.
They dive in, kind of goofy, and then they just turn on and go. And they don't have to slow down because they got a big heart or whatever it is. But then you also see the athletes who have a little something to their dive. Like you see them really slip in the water.
Yeah.
And then they just... There's a little different movement. You know what I mean? It's the same as like on a basketball court. Like not all centers are moving like
Shaquille O'Neal.
Right. Right.
A lot of them are moving like Tree Rollins.
But I'm just saying, it's like they're not going to move like a point guard.
Right.
Right. But they're all in the same sport. They just do different things.
That's an amazing analogy. So with that amazing breakdown, which one were you? Were you the Iverson of swimming?
Yeah. I mean, you
were?
You haven't heard?
No, I hadn't. Please put me on.
No, I you know what I was? I was pretty good at both, right?
Yeah.
Not the most athletic dude, but I'm not inathletic.
Right.
Like, I wasn't a big basketball player. I could play a little bit of soccer. I could play some tennis. I could run pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't, like, super hand-eye. Baseball was not for me at all, right?
Got it, yeah.
Like, Couldn't do that. And then I just had like a pretty good engine.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could train pretty good, but there were people who could train way better that just weren't as athletic.
Got it.
And it's also, it comes down to like the feel of the
water. Absolutely. Is that right?
Yeah. Just like there are some people in every sport, I believe, who have a sensitivity and like a touch.
To the sport, right?
To the sport or just to life, right?
Yeah.
And great. I think I had enough of that to get me to college where I was just okay. I was a pretty really good high school swimmer, but I was just okay in college.
So do they have your Speedos like in the rafter? Like Anders home?
I had some school records, but
say word.
They got taken by my guy who was 2 years younger than me and who was like actually legit.
He was like, "Yeah, let me come get those."
He gave me a year though, right? Cuz I was like, he's going to take them next year.
Are you serious?
And he didn't get them.
Did you all have like a meeting? And he was just like letting you know, hey, man, listen, I'm coming for you.
A little bit. He was like more shy, but dude was a serious.
But he was
like,
real.
Yeah, yeah. He was like Olympic. Was not an Olympian, but was like almost there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what situations lead you from there to Los Angeles?
Right. So in college, there to swim.
Yeah.
Period. Right. Right. And then I'm like, oh, like I'm watching movies. I love movies.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up watching movies, watching mm-hmm. Saturday Night Live. You know, I'm like a Ghostbusters head.
Yeah.
I just love all that era of comedy. And I was like, oh, you could take film classes.
Yeah.
Right. So I take film classes, but I'm stupid. Right. So I'm like failing film 101, which is basically like, hey, read this big ass book and then like answer these questions. I'm like, I want to make like let's start making stuff.
Right.
But I don't do well enough to like make it into the major.
Okay.
So I get a little bit of the way, and when we start making stuff, I get A's. I get straight A's.
Yeah.
And a thing that made me realize I could do this, which was writing, because that's what I wanted to do originally, was we had a film class where we were going to film. Two, three camera, you know, like a TV style, three camera
mm-hmm.
Short scenes, right? They're like 6 or 8 page scenes.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote mine And then my buddy was like, I don't know what to do. I was like, I'll write yours. And the teacher picks two to film. And he picked mine and he picked my buddy's.
Awesome.
And I was like,
must got some talent here.
I was like, all right, like, here we go.
Yeah.
And so we filmed those and, you know, they're not great, but like something, and people got to act in it and all that stuff. And then when it really got into like bottlenecking as far as like, you got to get into the film school.
Yeah.
They're like, you don't have the GPA for it.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, all right, I'm still going to rent the cameras.
Right.
Because I go to this college, right?
Right.
I'm still going to run around Madison, Wisconsin, filming goofy shit with my buddies. I'm still going to write screenplays wow. that are like not great. I'm still going to buy books about screenwriting. I'm still going to watch movies and essentially like write down like, okay, first scene, what happened? This happened. Second scene, what happened? Like pause, play. Wow. Like DVDs came out, right? So that was super helpful as far as just like being able to pause, rewind real quick, like fast forward. And that's watching amazing. Like deleted scenes, not even deleted scenes, but like behind the scenes on DVDs.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like the whole thing to help push them.
Absolutely.
I'm just like.
You're into all of that content.
Yeah, I'm hitting it hard. And
wow.
Yeah, that was it. And then my junior year, I got into a bar fight and was terminated from the team.
Bar fight.
Mm-hmm.
Bar, is that like a rites of passage?
I don't know, man.
So many of my Anglo brothers, they all have like they're all in bar fights. And the thing is, we don't have bar fights in the community. We just have fights.
Like, I mean,
just so at the club.
Full disclosure here.
Okay.
My high school was not white. My high school was 60-40 white-black.
Okay.
Or maybe 60-30.
That explains a lot.
10 other.
That explains a lot. Yeah.
Of what?
The deeper we get no. But the thing is, it's a great thing, but it explains a lot of the stuff that I'm going to talk to you about with workaholics.
Okay.
But you're in a bar fight.
You know
what? Fuck this. I'm out of here.
And they were white.
They were white.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was I was super duper drunk from like a swim team, like a drinking event that we do every year. Then we go to the bar and I'm so faded. I'm like, I got to go.
Yeah.
I walk outside, fall over a parked motorcycle that I did not see.
Bro. Damn.
And then some dudes just start clowning me. And then I'm like,
oh, I got to give you some of this too.
I'm mouthing off and it's like four or five of them. And then, you know, I made the wrong decision, hit somebody and they went out and then I just took off. But I was like, I thought I was like Michael Johnson, just hands here, like just Bo Jackson you're like speed.
You're going this fast?
Oh, dude. I might have not even been running. I might have been on the ground, like singing in the rain, just turning in circles, dude. And that was that. So bad decision, bad move.
Oh my God! You know. So if you had it to do again, naturally you wouldn't have done it. You just would have fallen over the bike and just gotten up and just kept it pushing. Like,
yeah.
Sure, guys, you got that one.
It wasn't worth it. But so then, like when I was in college, we had probably I think it was like 24 hours a week of practice. Right?
Wow.
You got 2 hours in the morning. You got 2.5 in the afternoon. Then you got 3 hours on Saturday and 3 days a week. You got to go to the weight room for an hour.
So talk about two a days. It's like 4.5 a days.
Yeah. It's wild.
Jesus.
And you're just like jacked.
Yeah.
And probably I was like, let's try this out. Anyway, bad decision. So I had all this time now.
Got it.
I didn't have to like go to sleep and wake up early.
Were you on scholarship?
Yeah. Not a full ride.
No. For swimming or academic?
For swimming.
So when you kick off the team, they still allow you to stay at the school.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't kick you out of school.
No.
Okay.
Just off the team.
Got it.
And I get my scholarship for that year because the coach was just like,
come on, bro.
Yeah.
Anders.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, okay.
Don't get caught, basically.
Pretty
I was
much,
like,
yeah.
That's not helping.
At all. He's a cool coach.
But don't worry. I worked at the liquor store senior year to just make ends meet, which was awesome. And got jacked just from tossing kegs around, like delivering kegs and shit. You're like, for day one, you're like, the fuck, I can't, this is heavy.
This is real shit. Real life.
2 weeks in, you're just like, give me this.
Exactly,
going
bro.
Going upstairs to parties, like, where do you want this? You know? you know how the liquid's moving on the inside with it.
Absolutely. Do you have like a whole Duluth set on?
Oh, dude. It was wild. Had all this time and then really dove in to screenwriting And I was like, it was like a felony that got reduced. So if I, and I was underage still from drinking.
Oh, so wow.
I couldn't go out. If I went out and got like caught drinking by police, I would go to prison.
Serious?
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Stayed inside.
Absolutely.
And also was like.
Absolutely.
You know, my parents are like.
What are you doing, bro?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I'm just getting that attention.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That attention that I so eagerly crave.
Right. So then really just, you know, kept it chill. Stayed in sat Friday, Saturday nights, wrote movies. And when I graduated, I was like, cool, I got two movie scripts that are perfect.
Yes.
I'm going to move to L.A.
They're incredible.
Yeah. And
like Top Gun and Ferris Bueller? Is it like that?
Yeah, like a little less.
Are you writing more like...
A little worse.
Are you writing like The Mac?
The first one was called The Last Summer.
Okay.
And it was about... it was all about...
Listen to this.
It was about like a therapist...
Okay.
...who was working with... criminals fresh out of prison to like kind of help assimilate them back into life.
Okay.
And they were on like suicide watch.
Dramatic situation.
Yeah. Dark comedy.
Okay.
And so then the therapist has this, I can't even remember what it was, but this incident where he's like, I mean, I feel like I want to kill myself too.
Oh my goodness.
And at the meeting, he's like, guess what, guys? You guys want to die? Let's do it the right way. Let's take a road trip.
Oh, wow.
And so they're like, oh, I want to kill my, I want to jump off the cliff of the Grand Canyon. Oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. And he's like, cool, we're going to do it all right now. And so then they go on this road trip to do this. And then on the road trip, kind of bond and finally get along in ways that they didn't really see each other before and find reasons to live.
To live, right.
But because they're such messes socially, they're just not built for this world, right? They leave this wake behind them.
Of foolishness.
And the police are like, we gotta like find these dudes. And then act three is this just them all looking at each other like, we thought we were gonna live after the midpoint of this movie, but we are clearly not made for this. And then it's just like dudes getting shot by cops and like killing themselves, jumping off this, that, and the
other. So they follow through with the plan.
They think they aren't going to, and then at like the dark night of the soul moment, they realize they're about to go back to jail.
Oh wow!
And they're like, nah,
done.
This is it. This is over. Some of them get to kill themselves. Others of them get shot, or like there's car accidents that happen where they die. And it just kind of spirals and then ends in some sad Portishead song, like, you know.
So I want to come back to that. But what I want to know that from you it. Is, what should, well, you say you had two scripts. So hold on a second,
because
I want to get to that too.
Yeah.
But growing up, what shows did you watch and music did you listen to that informed that pen?
Right.
Were you watching like Christopher Guest movies, like Waiting for Guffman? Or?
No, you know what? I didn't really know about Christopher. I mean, I had seen This is Spinal Tap.
Okay.
Which is not, it's his movie, but it's not in that like next pantheon.
Mm-hmm.
Pantheon, I don't know what that means.
It sounds real prestigious, that word.
Yeah, but I was watching all like the Bill Murray, Harold Ramis movies.
Got it.
I was watching, what else? I like watching Cheers. In Living Color.
Yeah.
Was like a must watch.
Absolutely.
SNL. What else?
What about music?
Music was almost strictly what would be now categorized as like backpack rap. Basically Native Tongues.
Got it.
Beastie Boys, Native Tongues, Beck.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I mean, that was kind of it as far as like the rap was just Tribe, De La. They're back.
That's what I'm saying. They're back.
Yeah.
They're back.
Black Sheep.
Like, so yeah, pretty much all Native Tongues.
Hilarious album.
Yes, a lot of comedy skits.
Super duper funny. In fact, I was listening to the other day, and there's a whole sketch about the dudes being like, "If you can't rap about something, I can put my mind to. We're gonna fuck you up." And I'm like, "That's Twitter right now." We're back. Like I was like, "Oh, this is here. We're back.
Wow,
this is it."
What an amazing correlation.
I mean, but they were talking.
Wow.
And by the way. Black Sheep, not that they're not these guys, but like no one's ever been like, Black Sheep was prophetic. They were dropping knowledge.
Ever. No, ever.
But what they were talking about is like, wow, the fuck, I'm going to talk about what I want to rap about, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
And people were truly like, no, you need to be uplifting us. You need to do something for the culture. And they're like, I can't just be funny and talk about my dick.
Right.
And like,
right,
what?
Right, right. I had a dream I was hard.
Greatest opening.
It was great.
Ever.
It was, bro, I'm right there with you.
So good. But anyway, yeah.
So all of those things really lead you down this comedy path, right?
Mm-hmm.
So were you into fashion in any way?
So, yes, you had to be. Well, you didn't have to be, but like people were into fashion at my school. Like,
word.
You just had to bring, just like get that starter jacket.
You had to, the starter jacket.
You had to.
Which one?
Well, you know what? I sidestepped it and got an Adidas half zip with the trefoil on the side.
Okay.
Because it was like $60. And my parents were like, what is a starter jacket? $100, whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
My buddy had the Oilers jacket, the
black baby blue
ones. No, the
black
pullover, the full zip, all black. Yeah,
with the Oilers insignia on the back. Ooh.
Exactly. But
fire.
I mean, like,
yeah.
Dude, the Miami.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about? Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Pullover. I mean, you. I don't think you were allowed to wear Raiders.
The Hurricanes.
You couldn't wear Raiders stuff to our school.
Why?
Because it was like gang related.
Oh, serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
By the way.
Wow, just, bro.
It was so stupid because when you look back, you're like, this is just racist.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
But who knows? I don't fucking know. There was no like red blue color shit. But like you couldn't wear Raiders. You couldn't wear baseball caps inside. You couldn't wear a hat outside to the side.
Okay.
Because that was supposed to be an affiliation shit.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, like, dude, I grew up going to, like, D.A.R.E., and it wasn't just like, don't do meth. It was like, if you're approached by a gang member, say you're a neutron.
A neutron?
And I'm like,
what does a neutron mean?
Like, you're not in any gang. You're
so
not
how come you just can't
Vice
say?
Lords, you're not gangster disciples, you're not folks, whatever, right?
Wow.
And I'm like, I don't think I'm being recruited.
At all.
But good to know.
But thank you very much for that insight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, but people, I mean, getting fresh, but we didn't say that shit. We were 12.
Got you.
But yeah, Jerbos, dude.
Oh my God, bro.
Jerbos.
You're touching on it all right now.
If you had a pair,
incredible.
We would just go to Burlington Coat Factory.
Yes.
And just be like, looking for Jerbos that like didn't have pockets that were stitched closed.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, 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 yeah. The true imperfection pieces.
Yeah. But then by the time I got to high school, it was more like hip hop meets granola, trail, camping, carabiner.
Like Kurt Cobain mixed with like.
No, like.
Okay.
Like Free Solo.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like people mm-hmm. have like Mountain Smith fanny packs with their spray paint in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everybody was doing graffiti.
Just tearing up that good old Evansville, huh?
Well, no.
Just tagging everywhere.
We have the L comes into our town. So you just take the L into the city.
Okay.
And like our school, like a lot of people come out of our high school that do dope shit.
Word.
Can you
name a couple?
Like, you know, Rasheed Johnson?
No.
Artist?
No.
He's an artist. He's a big artist. He's like, LeBron's buying all his shit.
Nice. Very nice.
Lena Waithe went to my high school.
Is that right?
She's a few years younger than me. Older, like the Cusack family.
Yes.
Piven
yes.
went to my high school. Like a bunch of people come out.
Wow. Okay.
Laura Harrier is a little bit younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
This dude, Zach Guilford, is an actor from Friday Night Lights. I mean, like, people wow. move on. Tony Johnson, who does a bunch of fashion stuff and like wardrobe stuff in the film business.
Wow. And so do they have a wall of fame? Like at my high school, they have like a hall of fame for like all the people who've come through.
I don't know. I don't know if they do. I'm not on anything. So they must not.
Because this is the pride jewel of, what was the name of your high school again?
ETHS, Evanston Township High School.
ETHS. So yeah. Now we're in LA. You're here. You guest starred on Mindy Project, Modern Family. Mm-hmm. So, question for you, in reference to Modern Family, did you and Ty Burrell ever build, or Ed O'Neill? And the reason why I asked you that is Ed specifically, he was on two sitcoms that like pretty much are like interwoven into the fabric of television with Married and Modern.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he knows how to pick them. Did you all ever like sit and like have these conversations? And from those conversations, you're like, you know, let me click up with my guys and do this.
You know what? I didn't even work with Ed O'Neill on that. I only worked with Ty, Jesse Ferguson. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was there for like a day, maybe 2 days.
Oh,
on
wow.
One episode.
Okay.
My buddy Adam from Workaholics, he recurred as like the nanny who was like having a love interest with, one of the daughters. And, but yeah, I didn't get to really talk to anybody, but dude, Ed O'Neill, besides, Married with Children, I used to watch that movie Dutch.
Yeah.
Constantly. I was like, this is my movie.
Absolutely. It was your jam.
So good.
Yeah.
So he was just like, I mean, iconic to go from like Married with Children, kind of chill.
He chilled for a while and it was like, all right, I'm ready to get back in and then have another run. That's not something that like happens often.
And I mean, he's just another one of those dudes. He played in the NFL, I think.
Are you serious?
I believe
he did. You're not thinking of Rob. What was the guy's name who was also an actor? Was it Rob or Bob Uecker? Remember him?
No. Yeah. Bob Uecker played baseball.
He played baseball.
I was just talking about Bob Uecker on the other podcast I do. This is important with the Workaholics dudes. And they were like, who the fuck is Bob Uecker? I'm like,
it's such a great name.
I'm like, wasn't he like a baseball player announcer for like Milwaukee Bucks Brewers? Yeah, that dude kills it. Fred Dreyer, who played Hunter. But anyway, I think he played pro football for a little bit.
Wow. I was unaware of that. Thank you very much for educating me on that.
So just another dude who's like, I guess now that I'm done playing pro football, I'm going to be a sitcom star.
Yeah.
Deuce. Like,
and then actually went to do it.
Right.
So you work as a head writer's assistant on Real Time with Bill Maher.
Yeah.
How was that? How was that experience? Because I used to watch that show religiously. I don't know why I don't watch it as much anymore, but like, he has like great guests on. Mm-hmm. And then he gives his commentary at the end.
Right.
Like being on that show, was it because Bill Maher is a comedian, but he, you know, speaks on a lot of stuff that's steeped in real life.
Right.
Is the writer's room very serious or is it very comedic?
I would say it's more serious. And to be clear, there's a writer's assistant who's in the room most of the time. My desk was right outside the head writer's office.
Okay.
So like I worked with him the most, but the times I was ever in the room, it was, I wouldn't even say it's like laugh out loud funny.
Okay.
Right? Cause they're not really trying to do that. People are laughing, but like, it's really just kind of chill and people kind of like taking shit to task and being like, you know, what's fucked up about that? This, and then being like the comedic and then being like, and then finding something funny in it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But you'd be surprised how much more, not more, but like how much goes into like the questions that these writers want Bill to ask. Because they're like, I mean, he's never talked about this. Like, go after that. You know what I mean? And then Bill's amazing because he takes these 12 dudes, at least that's what it was then, or maybe it was like eight dudes, and all the things they all write. They all write a monologue. They all write the closing thing. And then he takes and synthesizes the things that he wants to say out of that.
Oh, wow. Right? He kind of like Minority Reports it.
Exactly. He's just like over here.
Yeah.
Remember that move?
Yeah.
And then goes through and rewrites it
to
like make it his own a little bit more. But yeah, and then it's live every Friday.
Wow.
And I still watch, and I love that show because it's where the discourse happens, right? Not always, but at least sometimes there's people from both sides, and I hate even that I have to say sides,
because
that's where we are, that there's just two sides.
But we're all human, to be honest.
Right.
When it comes down to it.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's people from different perspectives.
Actions, yes.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
And you're not really getting that much anywhere else, right?
There's correct.
There's a lot of shows where you watch and they just look at the camera and they say all the stuff and I'm
talking
laughing.
Heads. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I agree, but I'm not interested because you know, you're telling me what I want to hear. And I go, yeah, no, I know. Yeah. That I feel the same way.
Right.
But I'm not like, it's not testing me. Whereas if I go on and I hear some like conservative dude make a point that I'm like, that's not a bad point.
Yeah.
That I didn't think about that because I think this way.
Yeah.
And then I could go, good point. But no, like it tests where I stand, right?
Yeah.
And I just enjoy that
the active
kind
thought.
Of, yeah. Otherwise, you're just a passenger. You know what I
right,
mean?
Right, right, right.
So I still watch. And it's fun to, it was awesome to work on something that was live like that every Friday night. Everyone gets dialed in to like, you know, get the show going.
Yeah.
I'm just dropping Bill's fish and fucking broccoli off in his dressing room before the show.
Wow. You know? I'm thinking that you're actively in the writer's room.
Dude, I was in there a little bit, but it was mostly like taking care of the head writer, taking care of production stuff, and then taking care of like night of show type stuff.
Got it. So at what point do you, Blake, Adam, and Kyle come together and form this mail order situation?
Because
that's where I first learned about you all.
My
my buddy John Mosley. Shout out to John Mosley. He was like, "Have you seen these?" And I was like, "No."
Yeah.
And like, the reason why I talked to you about when you said earlier my school was 60-40, and I said it explains a lot because I was very surprised that within your monologue or within the show. There were a lot of black references, like, you know, the guy's like, who am I? You're Gregory Hines. You know what I'm saying? Or like, nobody's a triple threat outside of Jamie Foxx.
Right, right. By the way, Jamie Foxx is just like, I might need security.
Hey, bro. I mean,
it's hardwired to me so deep. That was just what I would come home from the bar in college. I'd be like, let's throw that on every night.
But as a watcher to watch you all like drop these references, like using the, you know, the Jamie Foxx as an example,
right.
I was like, so, like you have to be cultured to know these references, and the fact that you went to this high school that speaks to it. But did your other partners also have the same type of social interaction?
No, and like so, and look, I'm not like the most down dude. Right. I'm not like in the fucking culture, but I grew up in a place. And to be honest, my school, as great as it was kind of fucked up because there was a lot of like tracking going on. Right.
Tracking
like honors classes and regular classes.
Yeah.
Right?
AP and all that. Right.
Who gets encouraged to go AP?
Oh, wow.
White kids mostly. And guess who doesn't get encouraged? Black kids mostly.
Wow.
And guess who was in the regular classes with mostly black kids? Me. Right. So like.
Right.
I have friends who have took away zero or close to zero influence, right? Whereas me, I'm like, it's part of me, right?
Yeah.
Like, and also like code switching, right? I'm code switching because like, on the weekend, like when I was real young, we belonged to a country club. So I'm like doing that.
Oh, you were code switching like a mother.
Right. And so then like, and my parents are like, why are your pants hanging off your butt? You know, and I'm
you
like,
were sagging?
I'm trying to survive out here.
Are you serious?
And so like,
wow.
But like, and then, I mean, when I went to Wisconsin, I remember this on my recruiting trip. And I feel like I've told this before, but I just remember it. I'm like getting driven around. They're showing me campus. And I'm like, this is cool. Like, where are the black people?
Right.
And one of the teammates is like, why?
Wow.
And I was like,
wow.
Because, and I'm like feeling like hairs on my neck now because I'm like, because this is, This is weird to me. This is like, this is white.
Wow.
This is white.
Like, it is alabaster for real, for
real. And thank God my freshman year roommate was a black dude from, not Atlanta, but outside Atlanta. And that just helped ease in.
Wow.
To the honky. but so it's very much like a part of me. People pick up on it a little bit and they're like, where are you from?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And see, the thing is, like, when you say the most down, like, I'm not saying people should be out here with, you know, kente cloth on, you know, black fisting. I'm just saying
that's my wife.
Oh, serious?
No, but close.
So, but the thing is, it was just so refreshing to watch this comedy. And it's like, it's like the revised version of, like, Animal House. Mm-hmm. That, like that's what I felt I was looking at. And you were the guy who, like, ran the house.
Right.
And then it was Niedermeyer and all the rest of them.
By the way, my dad is basically Niedermeyer.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, he's not as outspoken. Wow. He's, like, more low-key dude. But I remember watching Animal House super-duper young. Like,
Six
or seven.
Did your father also have Mad Comics, too?
No.
Okay.
But my neighbor did, and that was a game changer.
Okay.
He had that, and he had The Lampoon. He was like, this one has boobs in it.
Yeah. Right.
But so watching Animal House, I remember being like, when they're like showing the different parties, right? And there's one that's all the, like, buttoned up in their blazers and like, this is so-and-so.
Yep.
He's on the swim team. I'm like, oh, I swim. And like, the dudes are all buzz cuts and short and like, they play golf. And like, my dad was like a golfer in college and stuff.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, like, I'm from that. But I want to be these dudes.
Over here, yeah.
But, like, I'm stupid. I'm failing out of school. Like, I felt like I was built for that, but I was doing the Delta House shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that movie just spoke to me in too many ways. So I felt like I was Otter.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Otter. And, like, Otter was, like, the guy who's like, yeah, I could probably pledge that fraternity, but, like, they fucking suck.
Right.
Right? I'm like,
exactly.
I'll be with these slobs and be, like, the king of the dipshits.
But have a blast.
Had the best time. No rules. Wild, like, just, yeah. Anyway.
So my question for you is, at one point, do you all develop workaholics?
Right.
And was it a hard sell to the network? How did you all land at Comedy Central?
So I met Adam in Los Angeles at Second City LA, right off the bat. I'm like, this dude's super funny.
Yeah.
Super talented, had characters and stuff. Like, we were doing just like regular improv scenes, like, you know, okay. It's a job interview. Right. And I'm like, have a seat. And he's like, okay, I have a seat right here. And you're like, oh, like he could have just sat down
right
and
in.
Been like a regular dude. I'm like, okay. Has like big swings, right? And we just hit it off. And he was like, you got to meet my guys who I was doing improv with at Orange Coast Community College, where he had just dropped out of.
Wow.
Right? And so that was Blake and Kyle. Kyle directed most of the Workaholics episodes, played the drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you don't know what we're talking about, like I always say, please look it up. Please continue, Anders.
Check it out. Maybe even like buy episodes off iTunes or something.
There we go. There we go.
But so we just started doing live comedy. Kyle wanted to be a film director. He was in like the LA Film School, which is essentially like a trade school here where you can learn to edit, direct, light, whatever.
Wow.
And so he was doing that, and we had gotten a camera, and we started just making videos and putting them on like our website. And then YouTube drops, and we're like, oh, now we can like really share. We can really catch on.
Right.
And like the comedy page is huge, and we start putting videos up on there. And we do like 80 videos over 7 years of like just being a sketch group. And in the meantime, I'm doing real time. I worked on Bones,
the show. It was on Fox, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was an
assistant. What were you doing
there,
on Bones?
Writer's assistant on
that.
Okay. Yeah. Bro, I was taking whatever I could.
Oh, you was hustling, bro.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just doing that and, like, you know, making zero money. Wife, girlfriend at the time is like, what are we doing here? Like, you're fetching sandwiches. Like, you're serving, like, fish to Bill Maher. Come on.
Yeah. But you're, like, stardom is right there, and you're, like, standing right here.
Maybe. I mean, I'm working in the business in a capacity, right? So like seeing how the sausage is made, it's not foreign to me. Like I'm in, but I'm not in
all the way in.
In the way that I want to be doing it.
Correct.
Okay. And so gotta hustle. You're doing like the day job, you know, and I'm hoping at some point I could be writing on real time, right? Because that's just a comedy job. I'm like, great.
Right.
But so we're filming all these sketches and we do a little series that involves like the office and like hijinks in the office. And Walter Newman, shout out, Pasadena's very own.
Absolutely. What's up, Walt?
He saw our sketches online and hit us up and was like, I work at Comedy Central. You guys should come in.
Wow.
And we went from like a meeting with just him to a meeting with him and another guy.
Wow.
To another meeting with four people. And then, like, a meeting with, like, 10 people.
Wow.
And then they gave us $50,000 to shoot a pilot, which is, like...
Was that, like, pennies from heaven?
Yeah. Well, so we put it all into the thing.
Wow.
We didn't take any money.
Wow.
Because we were just like, we can't. Like, $50,000 is nothing. And they wanted us to shoot just, like, they're like, shoot a couple scenes of, like, what the tone of the show would be. And I was like, yo, we got to give them a pilot. Like, they know we can film three to six minutes, right?
That's right.
Let's show them we could do a whole episode.
Yeah.
So we wrote an episode that became the pilot, filmed it, and then...
The rest is history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, interesting fact, just sidebar, Walter's mother was the principal at my high school.
No shit.
His sister, Tara Newman... Like they were both, like, extremely sharp. Neither one of them went to Muir. They both went to private school. But their mother was the principal.
Did he start at Blair and then transfer? I don't know. Go ahead.
I think he went to Muir for a quick second.
Okay.
So whenever I talk to him, he has high reverence because when I was there, well, we were there together, I believe. Yeah. But he would always come up there, and we had a really good basketball team. Jacques Vaughn, who's the coach in Brooklyn, he was on our team.
Yeah.
And, like, the guy he is on the coach – On the coaching side, he was that guy in, like, ninth grade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, just, like, he would come to the class, like, War Air, we need you to be eligible.
Yeah.
Quit jacking around in the class.
Dude.
I mean, like.
You're speaking my language, dude.
Bro, incredible. Anyway, sidebar, shout out to the Newman family.
Yeah.
All right, so did you all have a timetable when you all first started on Workaholics? Or was it, like, a Curb Your Enthusiasm? Like, we're just going to do this as long as we can.
No, I mean, we. Look, for me, I was, like, preparing myself to.
What's good, y'all? It's Aaliyah from The Young and Dumb Show. I have something for you. If you're young and interested in learning more about different careers, becoming an entrepreneur, and really get into the bag, then be sure to check out and subscribe to The Young and Dumb Show. On this show, we sit down with the biggest, and I'm talking the biggest, career professionals, entrepreneurs, influencers, and entertainers to break down how to be successful in different industries. It's brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip hop, powered by creators. Let's get it, y'all.
Be a writer. And I started acting in, like, sketches that we were filming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I didn't come out here to act, but I had done a couple, like, comedy shows in high school. And so I wasn't, like scared, right? I'm like,
okay.
All right, I'll do it. I like the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to be a staff writer on a show. I'm going to work myself up to story editor. Like, there's a whole ladder with a bunch of rungs in it to be a writer in TV, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually you get your own show.
Right.
I went from getting sandwiches for a head writer.
Bro, you jumped the line.
To just having my own show. And the staff at Real Time were super cool because I brought in, like, a DVD of the pilot. And I was like, hey, like, would you guys watch this at lunch and check it out? And they were like, all right, yeah, you know. And then they watched it, and a couple of them, more than one of them is what I remember, came to my desk after lunch, and they were like, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
And I was like,
absolutely.
It was another one of those, like, oh, this is a moment like the one I had in college where we filmed both the things I wrote.
Right.
Where I was like, cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, because you could get people watching your stuff a little bit here, get clicks on that. You could be smart about how you title a video so people click on it or whatever. But when you have someone who works in the industry
that gives you those accolades, it means way more.
Yeah. So, and I respected those dudes because I know how smart they are. Like, not just funny guys, but like, you know, smart guys.
Yeah. Did any of the characters mirror you three in any way? And if yes, how so?
Yes, in all ways, but then we just would turn it up to like 11.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So like my guy was like a super preppy dude that had like this little hood rat in him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Adam was like this off the wall, like, you know, bazooka of energy, right? Mm-hmm. And Blake's kind of like the quiet, laid back dude who's like, could we just have a good time, like, and not, yeah, not get in trouble?
Right. Right, right.
You know, so yeah, it was a lot of that. And then like my character swam, which is just like funny. Like, swimming's not like cool, but it's also not like goofy. And it's a sport that's really hard that takes a lot of like dedication.
Man. Yeah.
And nobody gives a fuck.
About swimmers?
Yeah. Like, I remember in college, every year somebody on the rowing team would write an article in like the college newspaper that would be like, we're up at 4 a.m. doing this, doing that, doing that. And I'm like, shh. Shut the fuck up. Nobody cares. We're all here because football exists.
Right.
Your boat, the whole boat house paid for by them.
Paid for by the linebackers.
Stop it.
Right.
Nobody cares.
Right.
Don't rock the boat.
Right.
Like,
wow. Yeah.
And like swimming, you want to care. But I remember being like on the way to Big Ten championships, and everybody's just worried about March Madness and like what basketball teams are getting lined up or whatever.
Right.
And I'm like, you're going to the Olympics. Like, you're the one of the best swimmers in the nation.
Wow.
And you're talking about Wisconsin, who at the time was just okay. Like you should be sweat yourself.
Right.
But again, it's like swimming, you know.
It's the Rodney Dangerfield of sport.
It gets no respect.
It gets no respect.
Nah.
So, earlier in the conversation, you were talking about the theatrical release. That was one of my questions.
Yeah.
You plan for a theatrical release.
Yeah.
So,
or at least streaming release. A movie streaming was what it was going to be.
So the show has such a cult following.
Mm-hmm.
How did you all decide it was time to move on? And was it difficult to do so?
The money. The
bread,
money.
That,
yeah,
money.
I mean, look, we all started, our career started to blossom.
Mm.
And we basically were like, hey, like back the truck up. Like, we're killing it.
Yeah.
For you guys.
Yeah.
And they backed it up a little bit, but it just wasn't enough for us to be like, okay, we're better off staying here doing this.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
They don't syndicate shows for the most part.
Comedy Central doesn't.
They do with South Park because of some crazy deal they made 30 or 40 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Where they got screwed. So like,
Comedy Central got screwed?
Yeah. It's amazing. You can read about it places, but basically like, wow, the South Park dudes have like the rights to the show and half of everything that gets toys, if it airs anywhere. Like, usually you get like 15, 20, 17% if you're like the creator of a show. They get half.
They were there early. They were like the first ones.
And they are the ones who can like pick where it goes and stuff. And it's wild.
And that's why they're gajillionaires.
Exactly.
Was Scott Rudin behind that?
Scott Rudin produced Game Over Man, which is a movie we did for Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was originally titled Stakes is High.
Are you serious? After the incredible... So, I want us to pause 1 second with the questions, because today, the De La Soul catalog is available, finally.
Yeah.
I posted on my Instagram. Look at this.
It's a holiday.
Truly. But what's so amazing about it is that the plug is not here. One of the plugs is not here anymore.
Yeah.
Isn't that so ironic?
Yeah.
That they worked so hard, so diligent, and then once the payoff came, he was just like, my time here is up.
It's a real bummer.
Isn't that a trip?
It's a real bummer. But like, it doesn't take away from anything that they did. And like I was saying, like, you know, those guys are part of my fabric.
Yeah.
Deep.
Yeah.
It's just cool.
Yeah. That's awesome, bro. Yeah. I feel that way. The thing so interesting about music is that no matter where you are in life, when like something touches you, you don't forget it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, before we came in, you saw my shirt and I was like, dude, I was just texting with buddies last night being like, this is crazy. Like, people can finally listen to it.
Yeah.
We have all the CDs.
Yes.
But, like, now that, like, it's kind of everyone's talking about it, I feel like I'm 14 again. Like,
yeah.
And yeah. just, like, I'm going to just, like, keep it rotating. And I was saying to you, like, I hope those dudes just blast off into a new tax bracket. Like,
correct.
And get their due. Because I don't know.
Yes.
When I was in high school, I'm like, all right, let me go back and listen to, like, David Bowie or Led Zeppelin or even like Slick Rick or old KRS-One,
right?
And it sounded amazing to me.
Correct.
I'm like, this is still
this is food.
This is amazing.
It's food. Yeah.
Exactly. Food, yeah. And I'm just like, will 30-year-olds or 20-year-olds listen to this and get it? Does it still have that juice?
I hope so.
Or are they going to listen to it like it's big band music and be like, I don't know what the fuck this
right.
is. This is goofy.
right.
But part of me, like, right. if you go back and you listen to like Stevie Wonder from the 70s, I wasn't alive, but that shit is still amazing.
Yes, it is.
So I just hope that it resonates in a way where you're like, it has to.
Correct.
It has to. You can't put on Stakes as High.
And not feel it.
And not be like, I'm cool as fuck. Like that album, you listen to it, it makes you feel like you're cool.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
At least it made me feel cool when I was listening to it. When it came out, I was like, if I'm listening to this, I'm cool.
Yeah.
You know?
And the thing was, it was a lot of skits. They were like actors themselves.
Right.
They were they were like black workaholics almost.
Dude, I'm telling you, like.
Like, there's so many parallels. Yeah.
The fabric and even like the sample drops, like, I can't be your lover.
Yeah.
You know, you're like. And just like all the Prince Paul shit, all that stuff is just embedded in me where when people do ask me who my comedy like icons are, I do throw Prince Paul on there. Even going to like Handsome Boy Modeling School and all that stuff. I'm like, dude, this is hilarious.
It's great stuff.
This is funnier than most comedy albums.
Yeah. What does Toot et Lilliput mean?
Right. I mean.
Yeah. And I'm getting this in the eighth grade. So like, for the post that I did, because I do want to pay respect to them, but I also wanted to move on with our conversation. I'll say one last thing. I posted one of my favorite songs from 3 Feet High is Rising because I used to listen to that album all the time.
Right.
Anyway, so that being said, shout to y'all. Yeah. Per your career, do you like TV or motion pictures better?
I mean, I guess I like movies. You mean? To work on?
No, just, I mean, just.
Or like watching.
Just period. I mean, just like, no, well, for in terms of your career. Like, if somebody asked me, do I like being a tailor or do I like ready to wear? I like the tailoring for the quality, but I like the ready to wear for the money aspect.
Right.
So in terms of TV or motion pictures, which do you like?
I mean, I like TV.
Better than motion picture?
Yeah, like I like writing TV because it's tight. There's not much room for like. Shit that shouldn't be there, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess in a good movie script too, but I like writing TV. I like getting a second shot where it's like, oh, that episode was great. That was fun to see that character do this. But man, it'd be really cool to see them do this. Oh, we're TV. We can do that.
Yes.
For years, right?
Right.
And sometimes it gets played out, but like, it's still fun. And as like a family man dude who like moved to LA, If I'm working in L.A. and I can be on a TV show here in L.A.
Yeah.
And come home at night and, like, be home on the weekends.
Yeah, man.
That's great.
Amazing.
I don't love being on the road for a movie. You know, like, I did About My Father in Mobile, Alabama.
Mm.
And love Mobile. Good people, good food.
Mm-hmm.
But I was there for 2 months, and I would have rather just been commuting from the house. You know?
Right, down to Warner Brothers or down to Sony in Culver City.
Yeah. I like that. And it also, like, I'm a routine guy. It keeps me out of trouble, right? Swimming kept me out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I like the routine of, like, I got this thing. I do this thing.
Right.
This is it. I don't love hunting for the next project. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I get too thirsty for, like, elevating. Where, like, the next one's got to top the next
one. Right.
Like, what are you doing? Just, like, take shit that you think would be cool. You know what I mean?
And that's how you look back and you got, like, this body of work that's incredible because you've chose. That's why I was asking you about Ed earlier.
Yeah.
So The next question I have for you is, in Inventing Anna, we saw you as a dramatic Anders.
Right.
Super dramatic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Smoldering eyes, ooh, all that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
About My Father is more comedic.
Yeah.
What's more fulfilling, comedic or dramatic roles?
Dramatic.
Dramatic.
No. I was just doing a dramatic drop. DJ Drama, is that who does it? Dramatic.
Drama.
Does he do it? Who does dramatic?
I think it's DJ Dramatic.
It is, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. comedy.
Comedy.
Hands down.
Wow.
Like, because comedy is fun, and I only want to have fun.
Amen to that.
I don't want to be like...
Amen.
There was some... It wasn't offered to me, but they wanted me to, like, read for it, and they're like, you're going to be a serial killer?
No.
It's 10 episodes.
You're not working. Dahmer.
No.
Okay.
That dude killed it, though.
He did, but, like, motherfuckers would walk around the neighborhoods dressed as Dahmer for Halloween. And I'm like, bro, that's so not appropriate. That shit's not appropriate.
We'll circle back. We'll circle back.
Bro, are you really, really standing up for the Dahmer Halloween outfit?
I guess I would say this. I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah.
The thing is, he was chopping up a lot of black people, though.
I understand that.
So
and he can chop up anybody.
Yeah.
And I don't care. But like, it's, We'll circle back.
Let's circle back, because it looks like you have some things you really want to share about that.
I like people being able to do whatever they want to do.
Wow.
And if that dude runs into somebody who's like not okay with it, that's, he dressed up like that.
Listen.
But I don't want to be like, you can't.
Oh, no, I'm, but no.
You know, I
agree with you on that, because we all have free will. I'm just saying, if I had to choose, am I going to choose, you know, my friend, my ultimate goal is for my entire family to dress like Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
My entire family. So my wife is fair skinned.
Sure.
So she's the Michael prior to him passing.
Right.
But I'm the off the wall version, because I'm the darkest.
Right.
My son is Thriller. The other one is Bad. Like,
yeah.
Because Michael has several different skin phases.
Right. Yeah.
But like, I think that will be genius if we're all out as Michael Jackson.
That would be great. That would be great. I think you should do that. Michael Jackson also sorted past.
Very sorted.
Who knows?
Extremely sorted. Anders, yes.
But
I agree.
Yeah, but what's cool is that you wouldn't, if you could, dress up like Dahmer, and that's what makes you dope.
Mm.
Right? Like, these are things that we just need to let happen so we can go, don't fuck with that guy.
Say word.
He doesn't get it.
Yeah, say word. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Let people do that. Like, if he wants to dress up, now if he wants to actually eat people,
That's the problem.
But if he wants to run around thinking it's cute, like, great, dude. Like,
do you?
I know who you are.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I love the conversation. All right, so what are your thoughts on comedians?
But back to drama and comedy.
Okay, yes.
I like comedy. I'm here to have fun. I don't want to be a serial killer for 6 months.
Right.
I just worked on this Godzilla show where I did have to do a little bit more drama and like play loss and that kind of thing. No spoilers.
Yeah.
But then like after that scene, you're just like,
it's a lot. It takes a lot out of you.
Dude, like, cause you're
immersed.
You're bringing, if you're doing it right, or like, at least I'm trying, you're doing it.
Correct.
You're feeling
You're it. Immersed in it, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, like,
there's baggage that comes with that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, maybe not. Maybe we just run around being goofy.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm with that.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on comedians that effectively use social media to build an audience and followings?
It's awesome. It's great. Yeah. I mean, dude, like, because people used to clown, you know, when you get in the business, people are like, oh, everyone's on YouTube these days. I'm like,
right.
That's where I'm from.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
I don't know like what the difference is between YouTube or like the club circuit, like from the 80s and 90s doing stand up. Like, we're all just looking for places to do comedy.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that what's cool about stand up is that you can cut your teeth without a lot of people watching and develop. Right. So that when you do get a big audience, you're sharp, you're ready to go, hopefully.
Yeah.
But like the internet, you could be absolute garbage and potentially become viral for the wrong reasons.
Right.
Where it's like, look at this dude. This dude thinks he's funny. He's not. You know?
Right.
But again, like, that's the world, dude.
Wow.
If you want to put it out there for the world to see, go for it.
You got to come with it.
And when I go back and watch our sketches, I'm like, you know, that one's not great. That one's pretty funny. Oh, that's got a good thing.
Yeah.
That one kind of doesn't hold up, you know?
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
And it's out there forever. But so if someone wants to go on in social media and like, I don't, who cares? Do your thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I mean, like they, like there's a guy, Batch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, like
he was on Workaholics and he was in our movie.
And then there was another guy who was from the Inland Empire. He used to do these raps, Spit Hot Fire. I don't know if you remember this guy. He went viral. I mean, big virally.
Yes. Is this the dude who would just fall?
Yes. Out? Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God.
It was incredible.
Oh, my God.
Deshaun Raw.
Yes.
I mean, it was incredible. And, like, yeah. Chris Rock did one of the pieces.
I know.
Like,
I was thinking about that kid the other day because I was like, where is he at?
Where
and then
is
I was
he?
Like, and then I was like, not everybody needs the attention.
Yeah.
He's probably somewhere right now, fine.
Yeah.
Still funny.
Right.
And is, like, doing his thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's not.
I don't know. But shout to that brother.
Yeah.
What motivates you?
I just want to make good stuff. I want to make stuff that I like and share that with people. And I think that comes from listening to De La, listening to Beastie Boys, watching movies like Caddyshack. I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka.
Yeah.
Things where people were like at their very beginning.
Yeah.
Being like,
hungry.
Let's go for this.
Yeah.
Let's try this.
Yeah.
By the way, just watched I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka the other day. Not only does it hold up, it's so funny. So many people are in it.
So many.
And KRS-One with the closing track. The song is still
fire.
Unbelievable.
Fire.
Unbelievable. And I'm sure they did a few takes, but he's rapping with his back to the camera almost the entire time.
Yeah.
I'm like, turn around.
Yeah.
Chris, face the camera.
He's giving us Miles Davis vibes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, I'm not going to play for you all.
Right. He's like rapping to the guy who's just kind of like walking with the bucket.
Yeah.
And I'm like, here.
But you know what, though?
Here.
I think he may have been shy.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe.
He looked so young.
Yeah, he was young.
I was like, dude, he looks 18.
Yeah, he was like,
he might
super
have been 21
young.
Or something.
Yeah, he was super young. Super young.
But just seeing like those guys at those point in at those point in time where like they're just doing something brand new.
Uh-huh.
Right? Or even watching like Dazed and Confused.
Wow.
Like that's a movie where
yeah.
You just turn it on, it's like a hangout movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it felt so like loose and kind of just about nothing and about everything at the same time.
Yeah. Correct.
Where you're like, oh yeah, like I have these arguments. I'm like an athlete, but I kind of want to just go kick it.
Right.
You know, but I got to like roll with these dudes and like, I got obligations and like,
right.
You know, that kind of shit.
Well, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So you married your high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
So I want you to take me into the Mac vibe that you fell in when you said, you see that girl over there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get that number.
Right. Right.
I'm going to get that number.
Yeah.
Take me there.
I guess I was a junior and she was I was going into junior year and she was going into sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the summer, like right before school.
Yeah.
And so a bunch of people were getting together. We went bowling.
Okay.
Cosmic bowling.
Yes.
She had on white shorts.
White shorts.
Now, when you're cosmic bowling, there's black lights everywhere.
Okay.
What do white shorts do?
They reflect.
They pop.
Yeah.
And I was like, who's that? Who is that? I mean, I kind of knew her, but like obviously in high school, everybody goes through like.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
They're like blossom moment or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? And she was like a cross country runner.
Wow.
So it's like athlete. Super smart. So I was like, cool, maybe that'll rub off on me. I'll get smarter.
Yeah.
And then I just was persistent.
Awesome. So when you first rolled up, was she like, Nah. Message denied. Or was she like, oh, no, I'll give you a little rhythm.
No. It was message denied. And then it was like, hey, another message.
Yeah.
Hey, another message.
Yeah. And she's just like, yeah. And then she's like, all right, I'll read one.
Yeah. And so then, yeah, we dated and we're on and off for a little while, right? You date for a while. It's high school.
Right.
Break up. Right. Get back together. And then I went away to college. But then she ended up going to the same school as me for reasons that, like, I went there for swimming, like, recruited. And then I didn't really know that her whole family had gone there.
Wow.
And she, and like, her sister had gone to a different college and then transferred to that college. So when I was a freshman, her sister was a senior and I would see her around.
Right.
And so she went to the same school and, she was on the cross country team for a little bit. And we were just doing that Wisconsin athlete couple.
That's awesome.
Type thing.
Yeah. Power couple.
Exactly.
Power team.
Yeah.
Now, how does your wife and child influence your drive? Children.
I mean, because it's such a balance, man. And what's cool about her is she does not give a fuck about Hollywood.
Okay.
Or money or any of this shit. She works. Okay. Her career has been in nonprofit. She has spent a lot of time in Africa.
Mm.
So when she was in college, she studied abroad in Senegal.
Wow.
Then after that, she went back to teach at the University of Saint-Louis in Saint-Louis, Senegal, and then got her master's in African studies and then got into nonprofit work with women's reproductive health.
Wow.
And so she's been like...
Shout to you.
20 countries in Africa. Wow. She speaks Wolof. She knows a little bit of Yoruba.
So she like cooking like rice jollof at the house? Are you serious?
For sure. Yeah, we've had it for sure. Yeah. Yeah. We go down to like Fairfax to eat Ethiopian and she's like, dude, I used to have to go down to Fairfax to buy those calling cards.
Yes.
Remember those? From like the little pipe store. I'm yes, like, yes. Let me get the one with like the Africa sign on it. And he's like, this right here? I'm like, two. Yeah. So she's more about like people.
Oh my goodness.
She wants to do work for people, right?
Got it.
And then most recently she worked at a place called CARE. That's like a huge global.
Wow, she's really
humanitarian.
She's all about the human.
Yeah, and so like, you know, she's not fancy. She doesn't need the purses. She doesn't need anything.
She just needs you.
She likes the house.
Well, I guarantee you, she loves the house.
Yeah, but like with the kids, you got to have the house. With like, you know, you don't have to, but like, she likes the space. We're trying to raise some little athletes.
Yes.
Gotta have that yard.
Little swimmers.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll okay. See. One of them's got a decent stroke.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's all about the stroke.
It's all about the touch, dude. We've been over it.
Yes.
But yeah, so the motivation is it's interesting cuz I can't just be like, babe, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to get this huge payday. Cuz she's like,
who cares?
How long you been gone? Right?
Real world questions.
Right.
Yes.
Or I'll be like, "Oh my god, like I'm going to work with Robert De Niro." And she's like, "Okay, like very cool, like is the movie good? Is the part good?" Like,
wow. Yeah.
You know, she's very, very, very grounded. She's obviously like a fan of mine, but not like a fan of mine. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't like sweat me.
Right.
She doesn't like need me. She's not like, can I come to the premiere or whatever?
Right.
Can I walk the carpet with you and be seen?
Right.
She's low key. She doesn't need it. And I admire that about her.
That's awesome, bro.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, as an artist, what would you say is your value proposition?
And is that like a value add?
It's
what is the value proposition?
There are no wrong answers. So, value proposition is if someone asked me, "What is your value proposition to fashion?" I would say, "I'm all about the details, but I'm all about raising my client up to his paramount level."
Mm-hmm.
His optimal level
in
terms of clothing. That's my value. That's what I provide to my business. So
in
your business, to what you do, what would you say your value proposition is?
My value proposition might be that I'm not there for me. Like some people make things better. And by the way, sometimes this is not always appreciated. But some people make things better by just kind of going all out for themselves.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Where they're like, I'm going to kill this scene.
Right.
I'm going to win this scene. I'm going to be the funniest dude here.
Right.
And funny is great. Right.
Mm.
And I've actually done that. I have consciously done that on a couple things where I'm like, I'm just going to go in there and crush it.
Yeah.
With that mindset. But usually I want the project to be better across the board. I don't want to just be like the front runner who's like, come on, everybody, keep up.
Yeah, you want to be a part of an ensemble.
I want everybody to be at the same level, operating together. And, you know, sometimes if you have like a suggestion for another actor or for a writer, they're like, I didn't ask you. I'm like,
wow.
You know, well, we're standing around for about 10, 15 minutes rapping about it.
Right.
So we're wasting time. I'm going to give a suggestion.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You might not need to, you might not want to hear it, but you might need to hear it.
Correct.
And if you don't like it, great.
Right.
But you should be open to stuff. You know, if like someone pitches something to me, I can still say no. I can still go, I don't know if that line works for me or like, would I say that or whatever?
Right.
But sometimes it's like, all right, fuck it. I'll just say it.
Right.
And maybe in post, like when they're editing it together, they'll use it. Maybe they won't. You know,
got it.
But I've worked on all sides, having my own show with the guys where we wrote it,
mm-hmm.
we acted on it, we sat in on the editing sessions. Sometimes I or one of the other guys would direct the episode.
Like, bro, hands on.
We're all over it. So, like, you're not as guarded. You're not like, oh, this is my one thing. I got to protect it. You're like, wait, what did you say? Costume person? Great. That's kind of funny. I'll do that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Wow. I'm sure someone out there is like, you didn't do that. I was your costume person. I pitched jokes constantly. You didn't laugh.
You didn't like my laugh. Yeah. Right. So what is a wonderful fact that folks don't know about you that you would love to share?
I don't know. Wonderful fact about me?
If you don't have one, we can move on to the next question.
I don't have anything.
You don't have anything. Wow.
This wonderful? I don't.
That's the first.
I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't look in the mirror like that, I guess.
Okay.
I'm a youngest, so I'm always like, you're nothing.
Wow.
You don't amount to anything.
Did your brothers used to hold you down and tell you that? Like, look at me. I did this to you.
They're 4 and 6 years older than me, dude.
Oh, bro.
They're probably 5'11", and now I'm 6'3". But by the time that happened, they were like, dude, I'm 26. Like, we're not fighting in the front yard. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I'm like, but I'm faster than you now.
Right. Right.
All right. We don't even swim anymore. We barely cared. Like, my oldest brother was pretty quick. But, like, so there's, like, a few events of swimming in a meet, and then there's a diving break, and then there's the rest of the swimming. And during diving, he would go into the locker room, open up a door to the outside, and just smoke cigarettes.
Your brother.
and then he would just go back in and, like, win. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are 3 questions I ask every guest
in clothing.
So anyway,
nothing wonderful.
Nothing wonderful.
I don't know, like...
Wow.
In this day and age, I'm like, with like media and social media, I'm like, I feel like it's out there.
If it's out the bag.
If it's wonderful, I've probably let you know about it.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Got it.
Why would I keep that to myself in this day and age?
Got it. I can respect that. So there are 3 questions I ask in closing. The first one, and these can be as long or as short as you want. Mm-hmm. What would you be doing if you were not a comedian?
Probably coaching swimming.
Serious?
Yeah.
So you do love it?
Oh, yeah. I think it's cool. I think it's cool. I think it's a fun sport. I still watch it. I still like it. NCAAs are coming up. A lot of the college championships just happened last week. It's a new sport. Dudes are just underwater the whole time now.
Yeah.
You know? But I would do that. The, like, dreamer in me... It's like, you really couldn't do this, but, like, maybe you could do it. Would be, like, an architect.
Wow.
I used to, like, draw houses in, like, graph notebooks and, like, blueprints and that kind of stuff.
Like Frank Lloyd Wright type situation?
Yeah, so, like, growing up
wow.
Outside Chicago, it's, like, Frank Lloyd Wright land, right? And then moving to LA, there's a bunch of shit here too. And
a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Pasadena too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was like obsessed with Frank Lloyd Wright and would just draw cribs. And I was like, someday I'm going to build this crib. Haven't happened. Hasn't happened yet. But we'll see. We'll see if I book a new show or something coming up.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
What would you share with your younger self?
I would tell myself to get out of those clubs. Get out of those nightclubs.
The bar.
The clubs.
Wait. Are you talking about the club where you had the bar brawl, or are you talking about the club where we just go in here to just get it in?
I'm talking about when I moved to L.A. in 2003, and it was like peak Grey Goose era.
Oh, yes.
Right? It was, do you know about Belvedere, right?
Yes.
It was like just a new, this one's quadruple distilled.
Right.
And like trying to like roll. And I had no money. And I had friends who like actually got in the fashion industry and like were designers and like making decent money and getting bottle service. And I was like, I can't even like chip in,
right?
You know?
Right.
And just like kind of like being like, all right, and charging into the game and racking up like credit card debt and all that, when really, and those are my guys still, but they weren't trying to do what I was trying to do.
Right.
They didn't move out here to do comedy or get in this business. They were doing fashion.
Got it.
The dude with the Oilers starter jacket, he designed for LRG. All these graffiti writers who grew up and done good, right? They like find the
That's
job
awesome.
Where they can apply it. But anyway,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
We would just hit these clubs in that era, and I'm like, dude, it was so much money. You can't hear anybody talk.
Being wasted.
Yeah, getting wasted, but even just
No.
Like,
money being wasted. Money being wasted.
Me being wasted. I should have been, and I was doing that, and at the same time, I would go to like open mic improv and like do that sometimes. And I would, and like, you know, I'd drive by like movie theaters and be like, I should be at the midnight showing of like fucking movies and doing more improv, maybe even doing stand-up.
Right, honing your craft.
Honing my craft, but also, like, joining the community, right? Like, because, like, even if you don't even, like, really hit it off with someone, but if you both started at the Hollywood Improv in 2005 and you're both still doing stand-up, you're homies.
Yeah.
Like, because you've seen how bad you were. You've seen how you've evolved. You've seen somebody pop. You've seen somebody get humbled. Like, you stuck it out. You didn't leave. You're still here.
Right.
You still care, or you're still damaged. But you know what I mean? So, like, a lot of people who did, like, UCB in New York, the Upright Citizens Brigade, like, that's such a community there. The Groundlings here, community. Mm-hmm. Second City in Chicago, community. Like, I wasn't plugging myself in, and neither were Adam. Adam does stand-up, so a little bit plugged in. But Blake and Kyle, so we're like these outliers where we just kind of don't even really know anybody.
Wow.
But we love a lot of these people. They like us. And, you know, now that we've been in the business this long, we have a community. But I do wish I did a little bit more in the comedy space than in the club space.
So, I mean, it's never too late, though.
To hit the clubs?
Yeah. Do you want to do clubs? Are you like, hell no. I'm so glad I overstepped that. That's real. I mean, it's the reason why Eddie Murphy, like, has not done stand-up in a while. It's not easy work.
It's not easy, and it's humbling. And at a certain point, like, do you really want to not get laughed at after everyone has laughed at everything you've said?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, people I know don't laugh at me, and people who I don't know. But, like, sometimes you meet somebody who knows who you are, and they're laughing too hard, and you're like, this is a fucking nightmare.
Right. Right.
But yeah, like, and I did stand up a couple times because the writers, for the most part, on Real Time, a lot of them were stand ups.
Bill Maher's a stand up.
Bill Maher, of course, stand up. But yeah. Some of the writers, and I just wanted to be able to speak their language.
Got it.
So I went and did a couple open mics. Shout out Yasser Lester for getting me in there instead of having like to enter like the lottery.
Bro, I heard it's like 3 years.
Well,
crazy.
So, like, you just show up and there's like 40 of you. And they're like, we got 20 spots. And then there's like a lottery. But my guy, Yasser, was like, I'll get you in there. So I did stand up like twice. And you do 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. And it was fine. I think I did okay. Like, you're in a room filled with stand-ups, so, like, no one's rolling. No one's drunk.
Right.
But I did, I was like, after doing that, I was like, I don't know if I love, I'm not competitive enough to do stand-up. In that, like, there's like a negotiation happening where people are like,
you're an audience. Yeah.
You're going to make me laugh. Let's see it. And you're like, I'm going to make you laugh. Watch.
Right.
And if you bomb, that's why people, I think, like bombing so much, because they're just like, man, I thought I was in control and I'm not. And this is like why I do it. 'Cause it's still dangerous.
Yeah. It's extremely dangerous.
Yeah. They like to still feel like I could fuck up at any moment.
Right.
Whereas after a while, if you don't bomb, you're like, is this even fun anymore? Like, this isn't exciting.
Wow.
Because making laugh is just, it's like making like perfect steak or whatever at like a restaurant. You do it the first day and someone's like, my compliments to the chef. And you're like, holy shit. Like,
right.
They paid $150 for a steak I just cooked. But after a year of making that same steak for the same people, you're like, this is what I do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
But if someone comes back and goes, got to tell you, this was a little off. Then you go, oh, yeah? You know what? I'm going to make you another one.
Yeah.
And we'll see if it's off. And then you're like, you know what I mean? So,
wow.
But I don't have that. If the steak is off, I can't help you.
Yeah. You're still going to get your bill at the end of this.
Yeah. Now, I'm pretty sure it was cooked right.
Yeah. So the last question, we were talking about De La Soul. And rightfully so, you got extremely emotional. The last question is the most important, I feel, of them all is, and it's the last one of the day, how do you find peace of mind?
TV.
Wow.
Watching TV.
Wow.
I mean, it's just what I did as a kid. I just watched TV constantly, like all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or I go swimming.
Wow.
So I'm on a swim team over at the Rose Bowl with a bunch of like ex-swimmers.
It's a great aquatic center, by the way. Unreal. One of the best.
Unreal. And growing up outside Chicago, everything's indoors for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So to be in a pool outside, I'm like, this is paradise. It's crazy.
Literally. I mean, like, I always tell people what's not to love about Pasadena. I tout it whenever I get a chance. Yeah. Such a great city, great place. But I want to thank you, my brother, for pulling up. I know we've been trying to do this for a while.
Well, dude, I got to say this.
Yes.
Because people don't know this. I found you on Instagram because I'm a New Balance head, and you had a picture wearing some New Balances that came in my feed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, who the fuck is that?
Wow.
Who is this cool-ass dude? Cool-ass dude. Gave you a follow. And I go, oh, okay, yeah. Like, he's doing this. He's dressing these people. He's making these clothes. Like, he's doing that. He's got his brand. Like, this dude's killing it. And then I start seeing you post from your podcast, and I'm like, so not only is this dude cool, he's 6'7", and he's hilarious. Okay.
Brother, when you sent me the message about the trifecta.
Yeah.
Well, one, let me rewind.
Yeah.
When I first got your follow, I was like, because I'm a major, again, shout to John Mosley. He put me onto your show. When I found that show, I watched every single episode.
Cool.
And I have friends who worked at UTA because I used to work at William Morris and United Talent. And we would always quote Trading Places, Coming to America.
Yeah.
I started quoting with John all of these different lines that you all will be doing on the show.
Right.
So the appreciation goes both ways.
Cool.
I appreciate you.
Good. No, I was just like, this dude is, can I be this guy? How do I do a Trading Places with this dude?
Maybe that's the movie we do.
Hey.
That'd be hilarious.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Just like a week. I don't know.
Absolutely.
A day?
Hey.
And then I'll tell you about a body switch movie I wrote for Jamie Foxx that can never happen.
Are you serious?
Oh, it'll never happen. Can't.
We got to talk about that offline.
For sure.
Another episode of The Measurables with War Air. Thank you to my brother Anders for dropping by.
Thank you.
Powered by Revolt, shot by my brother Cali Vision. We will see you next time. Thank you very much. You start the fire. Trying to find what you like. This episode of The Measurables is brought to you by our sponsor, General Motors. Learn more about their continued efforts to fund the future and inspire innovation at GM.com.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.